It's a nice silence. Sometimes we get like a lot of cars and buses.
That's one of our best silences.
I really like it. A lot of people don't appreciate silence, just our listeners. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Didrick.
Didrick?
Did I say it weird? I know
weird.
I tried to.
Weird.
I tried to keep it cheery, and I think I fell apart at the end there.
Yeah, you're not used to being cheery. Don't force it. I'm Ian Boothby, by the way.
Yes.
You don't have to fake the cheeriness.
I don't have to fake that I'm. I don't have to fake that I'm in a good mood. I'm usually in a positive place.
Yeah, so. Usually skip when you come into the.
I usually skip
the studio.
That's right. I usually skip coming to the studio.
Yeah, that's true. There's usually a couple little birds with you on your finger, and you gotta, like, shoo them out the window.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I sing a little song.
That's right.
As they go,
and then a prince will show up, and you'll go, "Not interested. I'm married, pal." And he'll sadly slink away.
Sadly, yes, exactly, prince.
So, Dave, you're the host of this one. So
I am the host.
You've really got to carry the ball.
Have I got to carry the ball?
That's
oh
right.
My
well,
God.
Let me ask you. Let me ask your audience something first.
Yeah, that's people who can't answer.
We
questions.
Had a listener. We had a listener who said I was a little unclear.
Yes.
My voice is coming.
I think he meant your ideas.
Sure. Well, I don't disagree with that. If you think my voice is sounding weird on the air, we're trying to fix that. This may just be how I talk. But let us know if you think, hey,
yeah.
Ian, you sound a little different than Dave in a weird way.
Yeah.
Let me know, because we care about production values.
That's yeah.
why we use only the top-notch equipment that we stole from the podcast next door.
We're like the Sex Pistols. We started off with stolen equipment.
That's right.
We're a punk. You know, it could be that because you project,
mm-hmm.
you have a theatrical voice,
mm-hmm.
you like to sit back from the mic.
Ah, yes,
but
I do.
There you go.
Maybe I should be up close?
Well, because sometimes you'll make an aside.
Mm-hmm.
You'll make some sort of little witty comment.
As people do in the theater.
A little tossed
Shakespearean
off thing.
Aside, off to the side.
That's right. But
Dave does not suspect that I shall take over this kingdom soon, perchance.
Yes.
Indeed.
I heard you.
Yeah, I know, because I told you I was going to do
an aside. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
If I did a true aside, you would
mm-hmm.
not hear me.
I wouldn't hear you at all.
No. Aside, Dave does not hear this. Did you hear that?
Just a weird silence.
Yeah.
That's strange. I think, yeah, because you'll make it a little side, then you will kind of off the cuff it.
Mm-hmm.
You won't project it. But because you're sitting on the other side of the room on the couch,
right?
People miss it.
What episode is this one?
This is 269.
I should
have. The 200th and sexiest.
I should
podcast.
Have learned how to do this by now. I apologize. we have had a lot of dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
I should by this point. Be getting that right.
Because,
oh well,
because I'm a soft talker, so I crowd the mic. Like I just pretty sit on top of it while we do the show. I don't ever move away by about 1 or 2 centimeters.
No,
from
you've got like a college radio kind of situation
where you're just right up to the microphone.
Yeah,
you're talking very mellow and just introducing the next album. And
but I am a
with
mellow
with a little interest in what you're doing and just keep a little monotone and that's college radio. Can't show any enthusiasm.
It's not that at all. It's that people who are doing college radio, because they've never heard themselves speak, they don't know, because you think you're bringing enthusiasm. It's like when you hear a hockey player or a sport, like an athlete, do a commercial
okay.
on the radio. They think they're bringing enthusiasm to it. They think, well, if I just speak in my normal voice,
right.
everyone's going to like this.
Well, now listen.
But the fact is.
Let's hear what that would be like. So you're a hockey player. You're
yeah.
doing an ad for Razors.
Yeah, sure.
Go. Let's see what it's like.
This is Andrew Burrows for the Vancouver Canucks. I love Fred's Razors. They're the best.
You know, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like they just can't, like they think that they're being exciting, but because they're not used to hearing their voice
mm-hmm.
through any sort of media.
I like a little blood on the ice,
yeah.
but not blood in my sink.
Yeah.
So that's why I use Fred's Razors.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
a cut above.
Sure. And when I said Andrew Burrows, I was sort of thinking of Alex Burrows, who's a Vancouver Canuck.
I would not know the difference.
Has a great history. He's one of my favorite Canucks.
Hockey players or commercials?
As a hockey player. I think he has like a great backstory to his career. And so I really like him. I really admire him. But he would like to get into media. In fact, a season or so ago, he was injured at the beginning of the season. And so what the Canucks will do during the when they're playing the games that don't count, I want to call them intermissions, but I know that's not the right
nope, not at
not
all.
The right term at all.
I know that's wrong, and I know nothing about sports.
The exhibition games.
Sure. They're exhibitionists.
They would bring it, like, they had Brent Butt, the stand-up comic, Canadian comic. He came in and he was the color commentator for the play-by-play guy. And so Alex Burrows, who was injured, did it as well.
Mm.
And, you know, you think to yourself, well, this is going to be interesting because he has a lot of insight into the team. Of course, there's stuff he can't say because locker room is the locker room. You can't portray, you know, snitches get stitches, and that would be a real hockey problem, right?
Uh-huh.
So he was interesting, but he didn't quite have the projection, you know, to get that excitement into what he was doing because he's not there yet. Like, right. I think you have to hear yourself and kind of get used to how you sound. And I think it's the same when I did college radio. It was the same. You don't know. You've never spoken on the radio before, so you don't know what an excited person. So you just speak in a normal way, like as if you're just talking to a friend on the phone or and that's not a good way to do radio. When you do radio, you need to add a little bit of extra, like a little bit of enthusiasm that you may or may not feel.
Right.
But if you don't, you do get that kind of flat sound, and that's very common in college radio, where there are just a bunch of...
And then it's moved on to public radio, like an NPR or something, mm-hmm. has a very mm-hmm. similar vibe to it.
But they are professionally doing that, you know, and they know how to, you know, they know where to put the pause
yep.
to allow that, you know, dramatic
moment. Yeah, that's the
thing.
It's all about the pause and all about the mm-hmm. lists. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Our show has five parts. Part one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they know how to sell that, and that's a different... You know, it is a bit more laid back than your, hey, welcome to the morning zoo, but it has its own, you know, cliches or its own kind of idiom, spoken idiom. So, yeah, and podcasts probably do as well. They have their own
Like to see sometime is, you know, they've got those stereotypical morning zoos, you know, and I would like to see them swap places with, like, an NPR radio show. And just do, for one day, like, NPR takes over the morning zoo,
yeah.
but does the same bits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Calling people up and asking if they're farting, things like that.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, and then, you know, you got to have the morning zoo person do the, you know, wait, don't tell me or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's too fun. It should be something even more mellow. It should be like a radio lab mm-hmm. or something. Yeah.
Yeah. He should be reading a David Sedaris essay. Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks just hosted the wait, don't tell me and okay. It was a really good job.
Well, of course.
He had a lot of fun.
He's like an actor.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He can even pretend he knows what he's doing.
But he knows how to game show host it, too. Mm. He goosed it up all Wink Martindale style.
Okay.
Yeah, he was having a nice time. I really don't listen to the show, so I'm like,
okay.
I don't know what it's like normally. But that was good enough for me. I was I'm not turning it off.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyable.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So.
Wait, don't tell me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of current
events.
Wait,
don't tell me.
Yeah, there you go. It's like a current events type game show with comedians and Paula Poundstone's on it. And it's fun. Mm. And they have calls in from people and they quiz them on what's going on in the world. And everyone has a good time.
Okay, nice.
Especially Tom Hanks. He was having a really good time.
Having a really good time. Well, that's nice. I'm sure he's done like Celebrity Jeopardy or something where he saw like you know how it works.
You got it.
To a degree.
Speaking of Tom Hanks and what we were talking about,
before, we were talking about Tom Hanks.
A second ago we were. Do not alternate fact me.
Are you still doing asides? Because there's stuff I'm not missing.
I don't know. Maybe
I'm saying you're saying stuff I'm missing. It. So.
Yes.
You were talking about Tom Hanks.
I was asiding.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I was watching whatever the third Da Vinci Code movie is. Inferno. Is that what it is?
That's what it's called.
Okay. So I watched it, and I don't think I have fallen asleep more during a movie than that. And I was a little bit sleepy, but I fell asleep
hard.
At least 9 times.
Wow.
At least solid, good sleep, having some dreams, waking up in the middle of the movie 9 times.
Because it was no good?
No, it's just like, you know, you kind of get it.
Mm.
And like, here we go. And you know nothing huge is going to happen. And you know how it's going to unfold. And here we go. And here comes some gross out bits.
Yeah.
And here comes some this. But Tom Hanks was fine in it. And the Jedi lady was nice in it. She's
Jedi
not a Jedi.
Lady.
She's a rebel. She rebels.
Oh, Jyn Erso.
Yes.
Nice that she was in it.
Doesn't that name actually sound like a Jedi name, though?
Jyn Erso?
Yeah.
Don't they all sound... Well, they're all kind of silly names, aren't they?
Explain.
In Star Wars.
Oh, you mean her character name is Jyn Erso?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the actress's name.
No, I don't know her name.
I don't know her name either. She hosted Saturday Night Live recently. It was fine.
I'm trying to think of it. She's in a new film now as well. The Big Giant, or the monster. Your own monster. You have your monster in my pocket.
My Own Private Idaho?
My Own Private Monster.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we were talking before the show about movies you've fallen asleep.
Well, yeah, because I mentioned that I had watched part of BVS, Batman versus Superman.
Right.
But unfortunately, I fell asleep for about, I think about an hour, and then I woke up to an incomprehensible fight. And I did watch.
So you only had 3 more hours of movie left.
Yeah, and I did. I did watch it to the end. I just didn't know what was going on. I felt like I'm really missing things. Like, where did this spear come from?
What happened to that pee in a jar? Did it ever move the plot along?
Was there pee in a jar?
There's pee in a jar.
I don't remember that.
It's a predominant thing.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah, because it was hard for me. Like, I was kind of like, gee, I'd like to riff on this film, but I'd feel mean to criticize a movie where I missed major plot elements by falling asleep. Although it's probably...
I don't think there are major plot elements. No, here's the thing. Let me tell you the whole plot. Batman's mad at Superman because he's an alien.
Okay.
So he decides to kill Superman.
No, is that why he's mad at him? He's mad at him because he made a big mess of a city.
He made a big mess of a city, but he's an alien. We can't trust aliens.
Yeah.
And if there's a 1% chance that he could cause harm, we got to take it as 100%. So okay. We got to kill the alien because basically he's an alien. So we're going to kill him.
Yeah.
So he tries to kill him. Mm-hmm. And then they find out they have a silly thing in common.
Yeah.
Doesn't kill him. And then another monster shows up that's kind of Batman's fault a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's not Batman's fault. It's someone's fault. And then something happens at the end. And you go like, who cares? The end. And it's visually, there you go.
Yeah, visually.
And there's a jar of pee in it as well that features as a punchline.
Interesting.
Yep.
It.
That's what happens.
Was there like a bat symbol in it? Was it...
I don't think anyone calls Batman by the Bat's signal to show up and kill Superman. No. Yeah. Hmm. Batman comes across as a real asshole. I think I probably got into this before.
Don't they all come across as assholes? Like, didn't
Wonder Woman doesn't. She just shows up to help and actually does superhero stuff. She does nothing. Like, there's nothing that she does that has any effect. And they could use her at the end to actually solve the problem quite easily.
Yeah.
But because guys gotta be guys, they gotta do it themselves. Even though the lady has the same powers as the guys, without the same weakness, so she could do the thing pretty good. And she should, but she doesn't, because they let him do it. And nice job, dummy. But she doesn't really... Here's what she does. She walks around.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Wayne tries to talk to her. She rolls her eyes.
Bruce
Wayne gets himself in a whole bunch of trouble. He's going to get himself killed. She saves his ass.
Okay, I didn't see that.
And at the end, Bruce Wayne is still like, I'm in charge here. Yeah. Why are you in fucking charge? Why are you in charge? You have dropped so many balls.
Yeah.
You know, you've dropped more balls than multiple clowns in a juggling convention. Like, it's ridiculous. How are you still making the plan?
Yeah.
Jack, like, everything that you have planned has fucked everything up hugely, and now you're still in charge? No.
He succeeded in killing Superman. Spoilers, everyone. Spoilers. He succeeded in killing Superman.
Well, he didn't.
But his plan...
Actually, it wasn't his plan, because he didn't plan to have the big monster. That was just a spontaneous thing that came
out. You don't
out.
Know that.
Batman plans that far in advance?
Yeah.
Here's the other problem, too.
There's a lot of wheels within wheels.
And if you think he's a jerk in this one, wait till you see Suicide Squad. And in that one,
oh my gosh,
he does the most anti-Batman shit you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, who's writing this character? Like, what... What don't you understand about a superhero?
Yeah.
Guys?
And specifically Batman.
Hello.
Yeah. What does Batman like? Well, Batman's anti-gun, and he had a tragic event in an alley where his parents were killed. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to stop this villain by being in an alley, and he's going to use a little girl as a human shield.
Yeah.
The guy who shoots a gun. What the hell are you thinking? This is not in any way. Oh, bless. Oh, bless.
It's funny that no one ever, like, you will watch criticisms of that movie. And they're all kind of technical criticisms of, like, why there's a Suicide Squad in the first place. And why...
And
what were they thinking?
What were they thinking? What's the plot?
Yeah.
What's the plan? Sorry.
What's the plan? And then... But then you... Yeah, no one ever mentions that scene. Like, that was the most... That was the scene that stuck out for me the most. That and the font at the end of the film stuck out the most for me as, like, the most terrible part of the film.
The font?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've talked about it before.
All right.
It's just really weird.
I don't listen to the show. Did you do it as an aside?
I did do it as an aside.
By the way, if people aren't hearing all the asides...
I was aside myself.
We have bonus material to the
podcast.
Right. You got to pay for it. Sorry.
It's the whole
all our asides...
That's right.
If you send us a little money through our Patreon,
it's a Patreon,
we'll send
thing,
you the asides and you can incorporate them into the episode.
You have to
themselves.
Edit it yourself. It's a lot of work. I just mentioned my favorite part of the film is because you know, I'm a credit sitter. I sit through the credits of every film I see, not just because
you got to give them credit.
Not just because I expect them to have cutscenes or whatever they call them at the end of the film.
Yeah, but
I've always sat.
You also love watching teenagers clean up popcorn.
I like making them wait to clean up the popcorn.
They just
have to stand.
They'll
be standing, be like four kids standing there with their bags and stuff, waiting for me to leave. That's great. But anyway, Yeah, so you get to the end of the film. You know, you watch, yeah. you know, the entire population
Wait,
of the world
see if any worked under this were movie. Harmed?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Nope, okay, good.
No, just your feelings. That's all that was. And then, it you know, they have this font.
Yeah.
Someone, like, created a Suicide Squad font
sure.
for the posters and stuff for this mm-hmm. movie. It's a pretty interesting font. You know, it's got that kind of stencil, kind of rough look to it. So you get to the end of the film, and it just says Suicide Squad at the end. Mm-hmm. Do they use this font they've developed? Sort of a black and white version of it? No. It's basically like balloon writing. Mm-hmm. The cheapest, most like, forget about it, I couldn't be bothered font. It just says Suicide Squad. And I just loved it so much because it seemed to sum up the whole event. Just that last disappointing, just kind of, I don't care. Here you go. Aerial round.
Yeah, done.
Good enough.
Yeah, Comic Sans.
Good enough.
I mean, I didn't stick around for the little bonus scene.
Is there a bonus scene? I don't remember.
Yeah, Amanda Waller and Bruce Wayne actually have a little scene together.
Oh, yeah.
And they do
That's
a thing.
Dumb too.
I didn't see that. I just looked at it on YouTube later. They did the thing which I really dislike in the comic, which they always have a scene in the comic. And they just did it recently, too, in the most recent kind of Suicide Squad Justice League team up. Fighting, yep. blah, blah. And I liked actually the comic and what they did, but they had the scene where Batman says basically to Amanda Waller, you know what? Maybe some of your ideas aren't so bad. We can work together, you and I, but I got my eye on you, and then Batman takes off. It's one of those things. Like,
yeah.
It's like, no, Batman, you can't. She blows up people's heads. She enslaves people,
yeah.
gives them no choice.
She shot like seven people in a room.
Yeah. Well, even if she didn't do that,
he doesn't know about that.
But he knows that they put explosives in their heads.
Yeah.
And if they do They're anything villains. Wrong, boom, head goes boom.
They're villains. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
They're villains.
That he arrested, that he put into the penal system.
He put into an asylum. Because that's where all criminals go who fight Batman.
Well,
they all go into the asylum.
A lot of these guys are crazy. Come on. You got to give them that. Well, that's the other thing. If they've gone to the asylum,
yeah.
that means they're mentally ill, yeah. meaning they're not responsible for their actions.
Yes.
And you've put explosives in the heads of people who have no free will.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. Now you're double bad.
Yeah.
If Harley really is that crazy, then no, you can't put an explosive in her head.
Sure.
That's so ethically wrong. And Batman, fuck you. Basically, that Batman just needs to be taken out at the knees.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Grayson needs to take over. I don't know where Dick Grayson is in this universe, but Dick Grayson has to just go, all right, settle down. I'm taking over. I don't know what was wrong with that guy. I really apologize. Dick Grayson's on the case now. Here we go.
Yeah.
Puts on the mask.
Are they going to do a Teen Titans?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because
they don't really have sidekicks. Teen Titans is more of a TV idea, probably.
Oh, okay.
I would say.
Yeah. But it seems like it would be too. Well, I guess they could do.
There's
cyborg.
A kid Flash in. There's a kid Flash in the Flash TV show now.
Okay.
So we got that guy.
6 year old.
Nope.
Really
He's
fast.
He's an older teen fella.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Does a good job.
Okay.
He's very fast.
Name's Barry Allen.
Barry Allen is the Flash.
Oh.
Wally West is his kid Flash.
Oh, okay. Wally West.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I don't watch any of those shows because they all sound the same.
Do they?
Yeah.
Arrow, Flash, Legends.
No,
of
I
Tomorrow.
Just mean like when you watch them, every they just always have the same sound to them. I don't know. If you know what I mean. If you watch those shows,
yeah.
they all sound alike.
That's a criticism people have of the Marvel movies though. Everyone's got that bounce. Everyone, you know.
Interesting. I guess that's a
has the Algonquin round table of superheroes and everyone's
but that's what Marvel comics
everyone's a real wit.
But everyone that's always how it was though. And when you read the comics.
But isn't the same thing with DC? Everyone's dry and straight.
I guess.
You know?
But I think more
though
like,
they are Weisenheimers in everyone's a Weisenheimer now. They're
yeah.
Marvel light kind of
Marvel
when it comes
light.
To that yeah. bouncy dialogue.
Yeah. I probably just don't watch them with it. Don't have enough time.
I like Flash. Legends of Tomorrow is so dumb, but it's fun. Flash, I think, is legit good.
Yeah.
What's the other one? Arrow. I can't watch Arrow. Can't really wrap my head around that.
Mm-hmm.
And is there another one? Oh, Supergirl. I like Supergirl.
Supergirl.
Yeah, that seems sincere and fun. Mm. Yeah, I'm all for that.
This sounds like all the rest of them. I've seen Arrow. No, not Arrow. I've seen Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Supergirl.
Right.
And I watched, I think, one episode of that other show you're talking about at your place.
Mm-hmm.
The League of Extraordinary Time Travelers.
Sure, let's say that. Yeah, let's go that.
And they all sound the same. Like, they just have the same feeling. The sound design is the same in all of them. They
okay.
all have the same kind of weird sort of
They all
slightly,
kind of shoot them in the same city, which is this one.
The slightly kind of, I don't know, it's hard
if
to explain.
If that's how it felt to you, that's how it felt to you.
They're okay. They're fine. I like, you know, I like them, but I just don't, I'm not going to watch them.
But you like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I do like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just because I like the original Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now I kind of watch it reflexively.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, we have our family shows, and those are really only the only TV shows
watch
I like to watch.
Grimm.
I love Grimm.
You watch a Supernatural?
No.
Oh, you're off Supernatural now.
Oh, yeah. Long time ago.
Wait, when did Supernatural lose you?
Oh, well, after the whatever.
I haven't watched it, so I don't know. But what happened? So he went to hell, came back.
There is a season where it had a natural ending, and they could have stopped it there, but of course they didn't. And then ever since then, it's been like, it's kind of like you're on your fifth donut, you know, okay. And you're kind of like, the first one was really good. The second one was okay. Now this fifth one, ugh. But I'm going to eat it. No, why did I eat this fifth donut? That's what it feels like when you're watching Supernatural. I think they're on season 11 now or something like that.
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
How is there anything to kill still?
Well, what haven't they killed? I mean,
that's one of the problems with the X-Files, too, is like, you know, why are we worried about the aliens? They're just not going to show up.
Yeah.
You know, it's been so long.
Yeah.
It's been so long. But,
no, but didn't they show up eventually?
Ah, sure.
And if they do, it's disappointing.
Yeah, well, who knows what happened?
Yeah.
We don't really know. No one knows.
Because the interesting thing with Supernatural is they had you have your season arc, right? That's a typical thing in television shows, where you have your season arc.
Do they do the standalones and the season arc?
They'll do standalones and they'll do the season arc, yeah. And, you know, when you do your first season, it's almost all standalones with a slight arc.
So is it like X-Files in that, you know, this time we fight the werewolf, but then you casually mention it at the end, and remember, Dracula's out there, and then by the last episode you fight Dracula? Is it that kind of situation?
No, it's a little bit more well-blended than that. Like, it's okay.
It's not like Doctor Who, where there was a crack in the wall one season, and then every episode was just, like, unrelated, and at the very end you see a crack in the wall and go, huh? Crack in the wall.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what that is in the last episode, and you go, eh. Okay.
Well, but then it had this overarching thing where in the very first season it introduced the idea that Sam is somehow important and dangerous. And then
to the world?
To the world.
Okay.
And then we get through, you know, the season arc, and then we get to this season. I honestly can't remember which season it was, but season 5, let's say, or season 6, whatever. And Sam becomes the vessel for the devil, for Satan. Now that's a pretty big arc. Like, that's a pretty big, you know, cross season arc. You've started it in the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, in the very first season, and you carried it on as a sort of thing that in the background to this point. Mm-hmm. Huge payoff, quite a great ending episode, and very, very desolate. You know, it just ends, you're just like, holy shit, like, this is where it ends. This is fantastic. Unfortunately, they didn't end it. But you know, once you've done that, once you've paid off your, like, kind of overarching thing that you've been building up season after season, you've really, you're spent. Like, what do you got left? You know, so then it's like, well, time to pull it back, because we fought Satan and somehow won through just pure chance. Right. You know, just
Satan get killed? Someone's... Sorry for the spoilers. Does Satan get killed?
No.
Satan goes back to hell?
Sam sacrifices himself by regaining some control and throwing himself into the pit.
Okay.
And that's the end of it. So, but it's quite interesting, because Satan, like, just easily kills, like, a couple of the sort of main characters. Just, like, this angel character who's, like, a constant, my nemesis on the show now, because he's just constantly there all the time. You know, it's like, this is, like, a bit character that was kind of interesting, like, for a while, but why is he here 5 years later? Like, and he just, like, snaps his fingers and he just turns into blood particles and he's gone.
Oh, okay.
And you're just like, oh, wow, that's, holy shit, like, this is serious. And then, you know, Sam kills himself, or sacrifices himself, yeah. and traps the devil back in hell. And then Dean is the other brother is just left by himself. Everyone in their life is killed and gone in this thing. And you're like, wow, that's what a fantastic ending this would be. Like, just stop now, because you can't top it. You've done it.
But it's still making money.
But yeah, it's still making money, and people still like it. So you got to keep the ships going, and you got to keep the Supernatural fan base happy.
Yeah,
you know?
They're happy.
And it's funny, because...
Or you just make a movie later.
And what's funny to me is that Eva's doing, like, these little... She likes to do these little quizzes, and she'll ask me, because she'll be like, okay, Dad, so if you could get rid of any character from Supernatural, which one would it be? And it's like, well, Castiel. This is the angel character that I'm tired of.
By the way, if the actor who plays Castiel is listening to this...
It's nothing personal. It's just, you know, I know it's a job, and it's good money, and it's probably a lot of fun to do, but...
Yeah, it's not their fault. They don't write the thing.
Yeah, for me, you know...
Well, let me now apologize to the writers. Hey, writers, listen, it's not your fault.
You do write these things.
Yeah, but you don't have the final to say.
No,
that's showrunner.
True. That's the producer.
And hey, showrunner, I understand that you don't write these things. It's the executive producers and the people involved.
Yeah. Okay. So I just said Castiel, and she's like, okay, well, you're in 2% of the respondent that said get rid of him.
Mm.
You know, so just, you know, that's the problem, right? Like, my opinion is, like, so minority. Like, I know that he's popular.
Is he a very handsome character?
I guess.
Good looking?
He's not as good looking as, Dean and Sam.
I know, they can't leave.
They're the handsome fellas.
I understand they're handsome fellas, but, yeah. You know, a handsome side character is like, you know, that's who people go for.
I think maybe it would appeal to some people.
Seems
I don't know.
It's a little obvious to go for the two main characters. You want a side character that you're attracted to.
He's not my type.
All right.
But this isn't because, you know, to me, like, it's so obvious that it's a flaw in the show. But for supernatural fandom, you know, they just love these relationships between the characters and they don't ever want them to stop, you know. So they want this constant iteration of the same things happening over and over again. And, to me, as an adult, old adult viewer of this show, it doesn't interest me that way, you know. They want this comfort of repetition.
That's
fair. I do not like comfort.
There's a weird aspect to Legends of Tomorrow, that show,
yes.
that they just casually dropped. They just, like, threw this little thing in, and everyone acted like it was nothing. And to me, it's just like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
And this season, they're kind of chasing this object, the MacGuffin, which is the Spear of Destiny.
Okay.
Okay.
Hitlerian one?
Yeah. So you're familiar with what that is?
Sure. They mention it in Hellboy as well.
And many things, yeah. And it's you know, it's the Roman soldier stabbed Jesus in the side with this spear,
mm-hmm.
and
there's also a band.
Oh, very good.
Spear of Destiny.
Now, in the comic books, Hitler has the Spear of Destiny.
Oh,
and he can use it. And how he uses it is if a superhero comes into Germany or anywhere that's controlled by the Nazis,
okay.
They lose their powers,
mm.
Which is the justification in the comics for why Superman just didn't fly in, punch Hitler in the face, and end World War II. It's because, like, Hitler had magic, mm. And so kept all the superheroes away. Okay,
I thought it was like the talking stick, and so as long as he was holding it, he could keep talking.
Yeah, and Superman has to talk it out first. That's Superman's role.
Superman's role.
Okay, but in this,
yeah.
They're talking about how it can alter reality. Okay, yeah. and so all these characters are trying to get the Spear of Destiny. But you've just made Jesus canon. Like, the reason that this has any powers is because it stabbed Jesus and his blood was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And because the blood of Christ is on this, it gave this magical powers.
Yeah.
And now it's affecting the superhero world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big gimme in the superhero world that you've just gone, by the way, Jesus, that's the right one. That's the right religion. We've just, like, established that his blood is so potent that it changes, that magically it's changed this stick. And if that's the case, why not go back in time? And either get the thing off this centurion, even, you know, before he stabs him.
He's gonna gamble it away.
Yeah, and you know, what do you do then? Do you save Jesus? Like, you got a real issue there.
Mm.
But, like, just lay in that pipe of just like, oh, by the way, that's that religion's right. That religion's right. We're just mentioning that. If anyone here has a different religion in our group, this really multi-ethnic group, just letting you know, Christ is the way to go. Okay, we've just found that out by time travel.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, let's go have our adventures now. It's just like, wow, that's a weird thing.
Something they didn't really think about, I guess, when they did it. But I guess at the same
time... How about you aliens? Does that... did you have a visit from Jesus on your planet? Did he show up? Or how's that work?
It's interesting because, well, at the same time, there's also Thor... So
in a different reality.
We know there's a Valhalla. Marvel. We know there's, well, I guess, but conflate them.
But in the Marvel movies, at least, they're aliens with advanced technology. Mm. They're not actually magic.
Okay.
And even in, I think, Doctor Strange, do they say that it's proper magic or is it somehow?
I think they do because they mention it. It's like they're drawing on some sort of quantum universe or something like that for their magic or whatever.
Yeah, but there's no there's a devil, there's no, which they do get into in like the Marvel comics of Doctor Strange, but they sort of justify like Dormammu, he's an extra dimensional guy, but he's not a real demon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all be cool, you know, cuz we don't want to do that.
Yeah,
it's a little weird. Yeah, what are you going to do? But yeah, that's just a weird thing that they threw out in the thing. I was like, "Oh, why don't you go back and say hi to him?" Like, I remember there used to, like, in Swamp Thing, when Alan Moore left,
mm-hmm.
there was a storyline, and I'm trying to remember who did it, whether it was Rick Veitch or it was someone, but I think it was Rick Veitch, and it was Swamp Thing somehow goes back in time and can travel back in time through various pieces of wood, and then he becomes the cross that Jesus was crucified on.
That's right. It was very controversial.
Yeah, because and so much so they didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, I guess the cross was going to have a conversation with Jesus, which is which is an interesting story. But apparently DC didn't want to make that canon, and they went with that. But for the TV show,
it's okay.
Jesus' blood makes it magic.
I guess that's okay. I don't know. It's weird.
A weird universe is the Indiana Jones universe, because in that...
Right, we talked about that before.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Everything is... Old Testament's real. Mm-hmm. Holy Grail is real. So
Jesus is real.
And aliens are real.
Yeah, it's kind of...
And also this ancient religion, that's also real. That also has powers in the
Temple of Doom. That's right. Yeah,
so that's real. So it all... There's some... Everything works in this world.
But that's... It's a gimme, I suppose, that you accept that as part of the idea of it. I don't think they expect you to walk out of the theater and say, "Well, that's it. I'm converting to Christianity because the Holy Grail is real." It's a movie.
We've talked many times about the Archie Christian comics, and there used to also be on that same rack.
Yeah,
there was a Star Wars Christian book, and there was a Superman Christian book.
That's right. I remember my friend had the one about how the Force was representative of Christianity.
Yeah, and the Superman one was, you know, there was he gave his son to and came to our planet and helped us and all this, and compared it all to Jesus and really heavily pushed that Superman was Christian. And, you know, me being a nerd, even a little kid nerd, was just like, he worships Rao, a sun god. He's not Christian.
Yeah.
That's not in any way his faith. Mm. Not that though I do wonder, as a kid growing up in Kansas, if his parents ever took him to church.
Yeah.
You know, or if they were in any way, you know, they probably were a Christian.
Yeah,
you'd
think so at that time.
You know, at what point did he, like, learn about his, alienness and go like, oh, is there a religion involved? Well, let me just read up on the Book of Rao. I like this guy. And what's Rao like? What's he want you to do?
Yeah.
Is he like a decadent sun god, you know, dancing naked type thing? Or is he a good guy? Like, what's the deal with Rao? But he used to, like, swear by Rao, you know, every so often.
Oh, is that right?
He's definitely a Raoist. And now, in Supergirl, she is also a Raoist.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's odd. It's the same with the Force book. It's that sort of thing. There's a name for it where you see what you want to see and ignore all the other details around something.
So. Daving it.
Daving it.
Yeah,
are you saying that's what I do? That's what I do?
No.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's a fine joke. I thought I aside at that. I apologize.
Only listeners could hear that. It's called like something... Oh, pooey. There's a name for it.
I just think projecting.
It's a common... That's another word, but it's just a common confirmation bias. That's what it's called.
Okay,
where you look for what you believe in what you want. You know, so you just see what you want to see in things. So, you know, if you think that, you know, everything kind of relates to Jesus, then you see a movie about the Force, then you go, oh, this is very...
Yeah.
This is all about Christianity, because it's obvious, you know? And other people are like, what? This is made a bunch of junk. What are you talking about? Obviously, the guy was just making it up out of his head as he was writing a script very quickly.
Then you're like, wait, weren't all these superheroes created by Jewish people? They all seem like they were. Oh, well, okay. But, you know, you find your Jesus where you find your Jesus.
Well, yeah, and that's interesting as well. But also, they had to make it neutral. They couldn't, you know, they would never be able to have Superman saying, by the blood of Christ, I would, you know, whatever. That's just not going to happen, so... Mm-hmm.
And eventually, again, you're a time traveler. Go back and help the guy out if you can.
I think that would be one of those fixed points. Time.
We're Doctor Who in it.
Doctor Who, yeah, where you can't change that moment, you know, or you could, but it would work out badly anyway, you know, because this has to happen.
Yeah, you'd last temptation to Christ it, and then you'd have that alternate reality and going, maybe I'll go back.
Have you ever seen that movie?
I did.
Super controversial when it came out. When I saw it, I wasn't Christian when I saw it, but when I saw it, I was like, what's all the fuss?
Yeah, it's very... At the end, you're like, hey, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
He was tempted, so didn't he?
Yeah, he went back and decided to do the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it seemed fine to me.
It was like, it's a wonderful Jesus life.
That's right. Except it wasn't Clarence. It was, every time a bell rings, a devil gets his horns.
Yeah.
It seemed odd. Like, I mean, it's been a while. I mean, I saw that film when it came out.
Isn't that a weird choice for Jesus, by the way?
What's that?
What's his name? Defoe?
William Defoe?
Is that what his name is?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a weird choice for Jesus. Like, you wouldn't go
Why
like,
would you say that?
He's a weird looking guy. He's like a very odd looking mush.
But I kind of like
usually go when you're Jesus, you're going traditional soft features, beard.
That's kind of bad. Kind
of guy. You go with your friend from that TV show you like so much. The persons of interest, your Cavill fella.
Jim Cazaville?
Cazaville, yeah, him. You go with that for a Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I guess, but you know, there are the like the Gospel according to St. Matthew or whatever, like those Italian ones, which I haven't actually seen. I've seen bits of them, mm-hmm. but when I saw them, I was a teenager and I could care less. But I remember it being interesting that the characters were quite rough looking. They weren't the soft, you know, whatever. I can't remember the name of the guy who plays Jesus in like the King of Kings and those movies from the 50s where it's just like a, you know, blue-eyed Aryan. This person in no way looks like a person from that area.
That was a problem when I was growing up because, you know, all the pictures in the books were Jesus had the long hair and the beard and it's white as snow. Mm-hmm. And he had the sandals and he had the robe and he couldn't look more like a hippie, which is the worst thing in the world to the people who were giving me these Bibles and telling me this stuff. But I was like, I know these guys are dressed just like it and look just like it, but they're a very, very different situation. Well, no, they look the same. No. Well, what do these guys want? Peace and love. Oh, what Jesus wants? Well, it's different though. You don't get it. It's not okay.
Yes, it is different.
You should go and get a job. Oh, did Jesus have a job? No, he just kind of went around with his face.
Well, he did have a job. He must have had a job for a while.
That's true.
He must have, before he could support himself through his ministry, he must have had to work.
Well, they said he was a carpenter.
He was a carpenter. So probably when he moved to, he left Nazareth, I guess, and then he moved to another town. His name has jumped out of my head for some reason. Sorry.
Boston?
No, not Boston. That's a good guess. That's a good guess. I'm not saying it was wrong. Like, I mean, it's wrong, obviously, but I'm not saying it's wrong to guess Boston. Mm-hmm. Because naturally, if you are a Messiah waiting to start Messiahing, that's like an obvious place you'd want to go is Boston. Yeah.
It's kind of a party town.
Well, and they need a lot of woodwork done there, so.
I'm surprised no one's ever done a story about, you know, people trying to hunt for the furniture of Christ that he made, all the stuff, you know?
The chair of destiny.
Yeah, the chair of destiny, the table.
The settee.
You know, he must have fixed something.
The
you
side
know.
Table of destiny.
Yeah, all these things when they do their supernatural movies, it's just like, this is a piece of the true cross.
Yeah.
And we will put it in this weapon, and it will be able to kill the king of the vampires. And just like, this is a chair Jesus made. Let's hit him over the head with it. Pow! Okay, that did it.
Yeah, they should be looking for that stuff.
Yeah.
It's probably long gone.
Yeah, this is a chair he really like that he made.
Yeah.
It's an Ottoman.
I imagine that he took his tools with him, and when he got to this town, he worked, you know, as a woodworker. Because mm-hmm. he's described, in the Bible, he's described as not just a woodworker, but as like a master woodworker. Like as a, there's a name for it.
Yeah, but who's
going to
tell
though.
Him that he's not? You know, he goes, I'm a master woodworker.
He's just
woodworker,
nobody at that. Like, nobody knew who he was.
Okay.
He's just a nobody. He could call him whatever he wanted.
He wouldn't drop that Son of God thing like in a casual conversation when he's
I don't think
doing
so.
Some work.
No, I don't
trying
think
to get
so.
A bigger fee. By the way, I'm the Son of God.
I put a little extra on here. So it's a Son of God surcharge.
Yeah.
What do you mean a surcharge?
I'm just saying I'm the Son of God. But don't let that influence you in any way. Tipping is optional. God's my father.
Under the table, he's written Son of God.
That's right.
Know, just so you know who made it.
Yeah. What's his SOG on the bottom? Son of God.
His own little thing he burns into it, you know, just to identify the furniture. Nice. Yeah, I can see that. Just because it, you know, if you read the Bible, it just seems weird, like that he, you know, there's a lot of like gap. I mean, because people were writing this stuff, they weren't concerned about that stuff. They didn't care about that time period.
Just doing the hits.
Yeah, they're just doing the hits. They didn't care about
filler material.
What was he doing before he started his ministry?
It's not.
I don't know.
It's not Star Wars. We don't hear a 5-minute conversation and go, "Let's base 3 movies on that shit," right? Let's pad it out. Ugh. You know, a whole bunch of people died getting these plans to the. That's a full movie, is it? Is it a full movie? Okay, fine.
And where are these Botans or Bothans who died? Because a lot of them had died, apparently. Mm-hmm. Did you see any of them dying in the movie?
I don't want to get into it. Maybe they, you know. I don't know what a Bolton looks like.
That's from Michael Bolton.
Bolton?
Michael Bolton.
That's a tough pull.
Sorry.
I know we promised many things to you last week.
Did we promise something?
I think we promised one. We were going to review that Seth book, and I didn't read it.
I didn't see
the film.
Because I said, I was laughing because I said at the end of the film, or at the end of the show last week, I said, because you couldn't come out for dinner. So I said, oh, good, I can go home and watch the Seth movie. Did not do it.
Nope.
I got home. I think I might have watched Teen Wolf
instead,
because Eve wanted to. So I just like, sure, let's watch Teen Wolf. Let's watch this car crash go on a little longer. It's crashing. That car's crashing.
What season are they in?
Fifth, maybe? I don't know.
And was there a natural ending to Teen Wolf that they should have stopped?
There's been no natural ending to Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf is a very weird show.
Doesn't feel like Teen Wolf should have five seasons.
It doesn't feel like it should have one season.
any show that's about teenagers shouldn't have that many. No, that's too long.
That's too long. And the problem with the show is it started off sort of a lighthearted show about a boy who gets bitten and turned into a werewolf.
Based on two odd little movies.
Okay.
One quite homophobic. And one with Jason Bateman.
Okay. And then...
Who should be called Jason Bateman, because he's a werewolf.
He's a werewolf. I get it. Or was that an aside? I shouldn't have listened.
So. I don't know. The important thing is there's a siren, but it's going away from us, so...
No, it's coming.
Is it coming?
Yep.
All right. The rules are this. Guess it, and you get a little treat. Don't guess it, and you have to...
It went away.
Well, I'll tell you the rest of the rules another time.
It sounded louder than it was.
Okay, so it started off as like a good-natured, lighthearted romp. Yeah,
it had some fun to it. It had a little bit of goofiness.
There was a couple of werewolf boys just wrestling
A lot of showering.
A lot of sniffing butts.
A lot of boys in the shower after lacrosse practice. And
wait, they play lacrosse?
They played lacrosse.
Okay, it's Canada's national sport.
But it's not. It wasn't Canada, but yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's just. It's probably the cheapest sport they could have. Like, because football has a lot of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else have you got? Basketball. We can't do basketball because that's already like done in another Teen Wolf thing. So you got to find a different sport.
Okay.
That's kind of cheap.
Wasn't it basketball in the second Teen Wolf movie as well? Or I don't. Really
I don't know. I don't know. I've only seen like bits of both of one film. So.
By the way.
Yes.
I found out.
BT Dubs.
You know, I've often quoted. The Air Bud thing, which is, by the way, Air Bud something. Like the first Air Bud is basketball. The second one is like the football one.
Yeah.
The first one has the line, ain't no rule in the book says a dog can't play basketball, which is like one of my favorite lines in any movie.
Yeah.
And they showed that that clip on television the other day, and I went, hey, it's Jay Brazeau who says it. It's a guy I know.
Oh, really?
Well, she says the line. Oh. It's like a local actor. It's like, hey, that's neat. Yeah, it's one of my.
How does he
favorites.
Sound when he says it?
Well, there ain't no rule says a dog can't play basketball.
Okay, nice. Actually, sound a bit like a guy at work.
Oh, really? Does he talk a lot about dogs and what they can do?
No,
around the
he
workplace?
Doesn't. He
ain't
doesn't.
No rule says a dog can't move a garage door.
Made that book, put doors together. I brought my dog in. Come on, Rover, put that door together. Come on. I guess he can't do it. Change my mind. There's no rule that says I can't bring a dog to work. Have him by the tail, my workbench. There is a rule. All right, get out of here. Go sit in the car. That show, and then it just seems like there's some kind of effect on TV writers. I don't know what it is, but suddenly they need to get serious. You gotta get serious.
I can tell you exactly what it is.
What is it?
You know what it is?
Yeah, what?
Long days.
Yeah.
In the writing room, and it drains you. Okay. And then you go, I don't know. Something serious, and then they go, yeah, I guess that seems impactful. Yeah, let's do it, because you get numb to everything else, so you're just trying to get something, right? That's what I think is happening with, like, say, the Simpsons TV show. Is like they'll do all these shocking things. You're like, why would you do that?
Yeah,
that's awful. And you go like, yeah, because you've just been numbed by everything. You just want to feel something again.
Yeah.
You've been in this limbo. Yeah, that's what I feel probably is happening with your Teen Wolf folks.
Maybe it just feels like
they're not as fresh anymore. They're like in that room eating their snacks.
Well, no one's
getting their sandwiches. Yeah.
No one's showering. You know,
in the writing room.
In the writing room, PU. No one is. It just seems like it just kind of lost its.
You know what?
Its
probably also
purpose.
Though the actors.
Yeah.
Probably, first season actors are happy to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Second season actors are, I don't know. Third season actors are, I don't want to do that.
Oh yeah, that's where they are now. The only effect they have for like turning into werewolves now is. Well, the one guy who's like sort of the main, he doesn't even turn into werewolf anymore. I don't even know what he does. Maybe his eyes change colors lately sometimes. And by the way, he's a true alpha.
Yeah.
He is the worst alpha.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't even be called an alpha. He's like a, what's the last one? Omega. He's an omega.
All right.
He's like the worst. Like he's like the most ineffectual.
Say gamma, but you went all the way down.
I went
omega.
All the way down.
Okay.
I took it there. He is the most ineffectual, least whatever, like. Oh, and all the villains are terrible. It's just everything about the show
and
is... We watch it.
Instead of doing what you promised you do to our listeners, which is like,
watch
this nice Seth movie.
Yeah,
and then report back to them the next week, which is why they all tuned in.
Yeah.
You decided to watch a show you didn't want to watch.
Well,
and then complain about
it. I enjoy my daughter's...
For 15 minutes.
I enjoy my daughter's outrage.
Oh, that's good. Did she have a quiz about this one, too?
Yes, she did.
Oh, good.
She's like, what's... And she goes, like, you know, and she said, she goes, don't the people writing this show look at these... And they looked at, like, people's... The survey.
Yeah.
It's like, first season you know, second season. Is this like in the order of?
Yeah. Of By the go? Way, yeah, they do. They do look at this. They, you know, every writer looks at the pages.
It's the last season. There's nothing they can do now. They have to live with what they've wrought.
I hope.
I mean,
that,
part of the problem was that one of the actors was injured.
Oh yeah.
Remember, he ran over himself, which was a strange thing to do. But making Maze Runner, which seems like the worst thing in the world to have happen to you. Not only are you making a film called Maze Runner, but you also run over yourself.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's a terrible thing, period.
Yeah.
But for Maze Runner.
Maze Runner.
That's not. What I would like to have happen in the very last episode of Teen Wolf, and I don't follow Teen Wolf, but what I would like to have happen is...
Your opinion is very valuable.
Is this.
Yes.
So you got all your wolves. You pack.
I guess. There's hardly any left, but okay.
But there is. And somehow someone comes up with a cure for lycanthropy. They come up with a cure.
Yeah.
And they have the cure.
Yeah.
And so your main character, is your main character a teen wolf?
Yes.
Okay. He gets cured of the lycanthropy. He's like, finally, my curse is lifted.
Yes.
And he goes on a vacation and gets bitten by a vampire. And then he looks at the audience and goes, here we go again.
Wah, wah.
There you are.
Yeah, that would be good. Actually, I think that would be the best ending they could possibly have for that show.
All the rest of the characters, they all get killed in a bus accident, and then the mad scientist stitches them all together Frankenstein style. So they're all...
I think you mean the Dread Doctors.
Dread Doctors.
From last season.
Oh, they're like Judge Dredd, but as a doctor?
They're like steampunk players.
Okay. Do they the plague masks from the Black Death? Because that's the cheesy thing to do when you're like any kind of dark doctor.
No, they seem to be wearing like welding helmets or something, or undersea diving equipment.
Welding helmets is another way to go. I was watching Dirk Gently, and they go with the welding masks in that one. That's like a creepy kind of thing.
That's right. Those guys.
It's fine. Welding masks aren't a bad way to go when you're going to do that.
Did you enjoy that show?
It was all right.
I liked it a lot.
Good. I'm glad. It was fine. You know, it was enjoyable. It bounced along. I think it went a little too long, you know, but most things do. And then they ended up at the diner that I don't like, that we reviewed on our show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that where they're eating?
That was where they were eating, yeah. I was like, that diner made some money off that, and that put me off a little bit. But I like the characters, and I really like the female assassin. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, that was I liked her and the black character she was with. I thought that was a great...
Yeah, they had a nice rapport. I was like, I kind of was more into that storyline than the other one.
Us too, yeah. We kept saying, I kept saying, this is the best character in the show. Like, this is the best... They should just do a show about these two.
Yeah, how she kills people is fantastic. Yeah. You know, just off, great intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really nice.
Yeah, and the fact that... He's so horrified by what she's doing, and then it's always deserved. If there can be just desserts in such a...
I've been watching a little bit of a series of unfortunate events, which is really, really well done, but I just do not have the patience for it right now, and I'm falling asleep. So I'm going to watch it all at some point in the future, but like I'm looking at it going, this is gorgeous.
Yes,
this is really nicely done.
Yeah.
Everything's fantastic. I'm going to watch it a little later.
We've been watching it a bit as well, and... But I find the books this way, and I find the show this way, which is that it's kind of wearying. Like it's kind of a one note thing. And after a while, like by the time we got to like the miserable mill or wherever we were, the ersatz elevator. How far did I get with it? I can't remember. But I just felt like it's just kind of a one note. And after a while, you're just kind of like, I get it, you know. So I never did make it to the final book, which is called The End.
I think they've done it well with this one. Patrick Warburton is really good. He's
very good.
He's really laying it out
and
well.
Neil Patrick Harris is great.
He's just selling
a great job.
That guy's money in the bank.
He obviously loves the material because he just brings everything to it.
You see him and he's like British pantomime taken up a notch, you know, and it's just like, oh, this is perfect for him. And he's got a musical number. Ah, well, he's a pig in shit now.
Yeah,
he's so happy.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. I gotta give it again to Netflix. Like, man, nice variety of big television series that are so radically freaking different.
Did you happen to watch the OA?
I know. This is where it has to go. I watched up to the second
Why does it
episode.
Have to go?
Because it has to. This is the thing. Like, if you mention Netflix, someone goes, hey, by the way, you see the OA?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you watched the first one. Oh, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Then you watch the second one and go, okay. And then you go, I think I'm good. And I didn't watch to the end. Did you watch to the end?
I thought it was a prequel to the OC, and I was really disappointed. It had nothing to do with the characters from that show. There's no Adam Brody. There's no one. I can't think of any other actors from the show.
I know. We can't. Peter, this is the problem.
Peter, whatever his name is.
What we really should do is when we're doing all these references is we just pause the show, go to our phones, check out the references, come on back. So that was first promise broken was we were going to have Seth. We also said we're going to bring my wife Pia
yes.
on the show, or my sister-in-law Vicky. Both went to the Women's March on Washington.
Kate.
But both came back with terrible colds. Hmm. So they are coughing in their individual
homes. So what you're saying was
right
the Trump and his cronies germ warfare.
Yeah.
Over the crowds for the
yeah. Well,
march.
He's an old man, so anywhere like he's gonna ooze some stuff. You know, that's why Obama and Michelle got the fuck out of there. Mm-hmm. They're just like, well, they're yeah. dispersing the old man ooze. Let's get out of here, and off they went.
It wasn't that his job there was done, and it was time to take a well earned rest.
Well, he just knows. He knows. You know, he knows what understand. The ooze looks like because you're president. You learn all about the ooze and that kind of thing, and
the Oz.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, you see Trump now, he's all so sleepy, and it's like, yeah, he's sick. But they both, we can maybe have them on in the future, they'll give their perspective as having, but the general thing was, wow, that was amazing. And they were nervous going down.
Yes.
As you would be, you know, things could have gone horribly wrong, and instead they went incredibly right. Mm-hmm. And it was just completely peaceful.
Yeah.
And amazing, and then all these other countries in the world joined in, and it was like nothing, like they expected to meet up with our friend Branwyn.
Yes.
Branwyn Bigglestone. And in fact, they passed by them, like they were 5 feet away from them. And they knew that later on because they recognized their sign and went, oh, that's a great sign, but they didn't see them.
Yeah.
It was so dense.
Yeah.
And then we had another friend, Joanne, and they were trying to get in. But no, you're not going to meet up with nobody. There's too many people here.
Yeah.
You're not going to meet up with nobody. Are you going to get to see the speeches? Oh, of course you're not. Of course you're not. But then it's not about the speeches.
Yeah.
You thought it's going to be like, we're all going to get to this one place and do a thing, but it's not. It's about just being here and then interacting, and yeah, apparently it was just freaking amazing. And the fact that the rest of the world basically all just went, yeah, us too, even Antarctica.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Though Antarctica to me made more sense than almost anywhere else, because if you've got a guy who thinks that your hairspray does not cause holes in the ozone mm-hmm. when you use it indoors with the doors shut.
Yeah.
The place that's got the ozone hole that's vaporizing penguins is probably going to go, yeah, we're not pro that guy. Maybe that guy's not our
fortunately, fella. Fortunately, that hole is closed.
Good.
Yes.
Well, it's not too...
Because we banned PFCs and other things.
And because we've used them indoors now.
Or is it PCBs? PCBs or PFCs?
PCP. I think it's PCP. TCB.
We're taking care of business?
We took care of business. Well, the other problem, as Trump said, was people were using the hairspray outdoors.
Yeah.
People go outside,
sure.
use their hairspray.
That's where I do it,
and
too.
And that's fucking it up.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone decided, listen, if you do it with the door closed,
yeah.
everything's kosher.
Okay.
And that's all
good
fine.
Good to know.
Once again,
yeah.
it's one of those things where, like, if grandpa says it, you consider putting him in a home.
So what I'm kind of getting right now is in terms of our, I think, resolution, last show, maybe the show before that, to kind of get better at self-promotion.
Okay.
Two for zero, or zero for two, I should say.
We haven't done any promotion?
We've obviously, like, our promise our listeners that we would, A, watch Seth.
Yeah.
B, have Pia.
Have celebrity guests.
And have some celebrity guests. People actually had something to talk about.
Yeah.
On the show.
Relevance.
Can't even say it. Flat out failure.
Yep, absolutely.
I was going to say a Fallout Boy, but then that doesn't make sense.
Oh, okay. Fallout Boy's popular. Let's tie into that. Also, the game Fallout.
Fallout.
Fallout 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay. Those are also very popular. Okay. We tie into both of those.
Sure.
You know what? Hashtag Fallout. Hashtag Fallout Boy.
Mm.
Hashtag. That's what we got to do. We got to hashtag this
hashtag
shit. This hashtag Women's March.
Hashtag.
There, we just there got everybody.
Oh,
hashtag.
Man. We got it all.
Hashtag Teen Wolf.
Hashtag Teen Wolf.
What the fuck? Why aren't we hashtagging this shit?
I don't know.
That's our problem.
I don't know.
There's a problem right there. Hashtag Batman v Superman.
There's your problem. Here's a question for you. I'm thinking about Teen Wolf and another show I like a lot, which is it's weird watching a TV show that you know is ending.
Okay.
Like, it's different now. Like, when we were younger,
mm-hmm.
it was very rare that they would have, like, you know, besides Matt, it would be very rare that a show would have, like, an ending.
And if they did, they'd all, like, leave and then turn the lights out and you go,
oh. But it would just be like, it was usually like, you know.
Rest in peace, Mary Tyler Moore. Rest in peace, Mary Tyler Moore show, which had a very similar ending.
To mm.
The doors are shut. Click.
Yeah.
Cheers. We're closed. Click.
Oh, interesting.
Lights off.
Maybe I'm wrong. Because it feels like most times that I watch the show.
IT crowd.
It just wouldn't come back on again. Like, it would, you know, you'd be like, well, the season would end. You'd be like, oh, next year I'll watch this show. And then it wouldn't come back. You'd be like, well, where did Manimal go? I don't know. I just use that as a dumb excuse. And then you'd be, you know.
By the way.
Yes.
I would love to do a TV show, and I'm going to say this right now.
Uh-huh.
If I can get the rights to Manimal,
yes,
I would love to do Womanimal.
Womanimal?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's manimal, but she's a woman.
Okay. I like it.
And or, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Here's the other angle.
I've got one for you after
no,
you
No, okay,
say
but
that.
I'm just going to say this. Yep. Womanimal.
Yep.
In that it's still manimal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy.
Yeah.
But he can only turn into female animals.
Oh.
And we see how he deals with that.
Well, my idea is a little different than yours. It was more of a a couple centuries ago, you know, prairie setting with little womb animals. I think that would be also good. So just kind of like them in, you know, like school
times. Are
these
little
womb
animals on the prairie?
No, these are little womb animals. Then you can have little manimals.
Okay.
And then you can end it all with.
Stuart Little Womanimals.
Stuart Little Animals.
Hashtag Little Women. Hashtag Little Men. Hashtag Little House on the Prairie. Hashtag.
I was trying to think how to get Joe's Boys in there, but I couldn't.
Speaking of pop culture.
The third book of that.
The next day after, we'll let them talk about the march and stuff when they're on the show. Anyway,
yes.
Very proud of everybody who went. Good for you.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I just want to... Because
Unless
I did
want,
say that.
It seemed like you went like you had to do a Little House on the Prairie joke, and so you wanted to get off the march situation.
No, I just want to agree with you that it's pretty great, and great for Pia and Vicky, and also Branwen and our other friend Tracy, who all went, you know, just took time out of their lives to fly all the way down to Washington,
and
D.C.
so many other people did as well.
To
from
make
all
this
of the,
great
like they
statement.
Thought that
yeah.
they would mostly be meeting people locally,
yeah,
and it was like, no, there were so many people that had traveled from all over the world, and just like, nope, we
gotta.
Let's
do this thing.
And it was just, again, it was amazing seeing, you know, especially I know London so well, and just seeing, like, you know, you saw the crowd in London mm-hmm. just go, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, just all over the place in Germany and just amazing. Everyone just went, no. And you know, it got under his skin. And it's great. It's just that, like under his very thin skin and just really ruined his day.
Yes.
And it's just like, that's nice. It's nice to just keep ruining his day. Over and over again. Keep it up. Keep him off balance. Keep him on the bad foot.
What's this? A little aside. I don't want to go too far down this road because, as you know, I feel this subject is kind of played out. But I did enjoy.
I really don't.
I did
I think
enjoy.
There's no other subject that's more important. But
I
go
did
ahead.
Enjoy the fact that there's so many leaks coming out of his.
Yeah.
His
saying
people.
How he's upset.
Oh,
how he's
everyone's telling the press stuff.
Yeah.
It's like there's this big group of like. Show offs. You just want, you know. I can only imagine there'll be a lot of books coming out of this. I hope books will still be published after his term is done. Because
they will be. They will be published after.
It's crazy.
No, what
it's
I
crazy
think.
Time.
What I think with that is, and just my theory on that is that they can't say the big shit, which is like he's not fit to nothing. But they can say the little shit.
Yeah.
So let's get the little shit out there.
Mm.
But the general. Oh man, the general feeling like every day there's something that you're just like, it's not, no. And you're like, okay, well, this is going to become normal any second now. Here we go. Ooh. It's like, okay. And I was like, all right, just like yesterday, it's just like, okay, well, he's doing an interview on ABC. This is going to be fine. This is going to be fine. This is like, this is easy peasy. Everyone does this one. Oh, he doesn't look right at all. No, not at all. Oof. Okay. And then by the end of it, you know, I'm going to go after those 3 million illegal voters. Well, no one believes those exist to the point where even the news is just going, he's wrong. That's not, and they're going to give him, you're going to fund that? There's money for that? You're going to do that. You're going to pursue the, wow, okay. This is really taken away from this wall that's not going to help anything either. And maybe we should focus on, oh,
let's not
it's
have,
all
I would prefer
imaginary.
Him not, prefer him not to focus on that wall. I can, you know, the wall I can only imagine is, I just feel sorry for anyone who lives along the border and who's going to have like their property divided and destroyed
for no reason.
For no reason, just have this giant piece of junk set up that's not going to do anything for anybody.
And the
fact that
it's
worst
cost
of all,
$20 billion.
Yeah, and worst of all is that because you know American corporations have like learned to that you know Mexico has become like a popular place to have you know parts factories and so there's lots of jobs in Mexico for people if you know if they want to have jobs in factories and. And so there's really less reason for them to come up here or to come up into the States than there ever was.
Yeah, this is a non-issue.
And so it's like basically
it's the
a non-issue.
Lowest, yeah, it's the lowest year in like decades
well,
for people illegally
because
coming up. Like it's a non-problem.
There's
never been a worse year for this to consider this
there's
a problem.
Two factors. One is that, well, because like a couple of years ago, Han Jin, the Korean super shipper, like there was this a huge shipping company. They completely they just went bankrupt. Everything just stopped. All their sailings and everything stopped one day. It was all closed down. So everyone, all these corporate, you know, all these businesses and stuff like that, all their product was stuck around the world in shipping containers, and everyone was scrambling to get their stuff back onto the ocean. So that's a real lesson in like the dangers of having your product so far away from you. And so Mexico has become a really popular alternative as a place to build factories and have workers there. And it's a lot easier to build and own factories in Mexico than it is in China, where you can't own property.
Yeah.
You can just lease the land and have the factory on it. And you can't even own the factory. You have to have like, you know, intermediaries, you know, working with you in order to act between you and the horrible Chinese government. And so, you know, these corporations are, you know, figuring this out, and they're using Mexico as sort of, you know, as a cheap place place for cheap labor, because, you know, we don't want to pay through the nose for things we buy. So this is one way.
America's always running cheap labor. Yeah, we got to pay.
The entire world is run on cheap labor.
Yeah, but America especially. You know, listen.
Are you talking about Canada too, right?
No, because we don't have the same history of direct slavery that they do. Whereas I think, like, you know, it's always been that which has led to, you know, just that we've always got to like have, and I'm saying we, I'm sorry, you've always got to have, you know, we got to undercut. We got to pay people less than we pay other people, to the point where you've now that got that with prisons, and prison labor is slave labor now,
you know, terrible.
Especially in the States.
Yes,
yeah.
That's awful.
And so, you know, it's standard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's always run on a certain form of slavery, and if not slavery, then paying as little as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, you know, I've got a phone here where, you know, it's, you know, people are paid for, and there's an argument to be made on that, whereas, you know, people need to make a living, and that's the amount they'd be making anyway, and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, when you get, you know, the prison slave labor shit is just fucking evil.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
We're no angels, by the way. Canada's no angels. But anyway.
No, I know. But we've got, you know, there's an original sin that is in the States that we do not have that specific original sin. We've got our own sins.
Yes.
But it's a different thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's not pat ourselves too bad. Hard on the back. But anyway.
No, no.
But
it's important to remember what history
I,
was.
I agree with you. And it's the economic reality of the world we live in. To a point.
Little thing at the very end, and I agree, and I think that's correct, but it's not.
No, it's not that I disagree with you. It's just that there was this brief kind of shining time where for North America salaries were commensurate with, you know, like what you needed to live, and your salaries were fairly good,
and our parents bought houses because they put a little away in their mattress.
Yes, that's
there
right.
You are, and then we got a house, and now it just seems like the most ridiculous thing in the entire freaking world. It just the thing that's amazing to me right now is that it feels like, especially like beforehand, you know, I was talking about the Mexican rapists, they're coming up, and so we got to build a wall because that's what keeps rapists out, is a wall. And they're like, oh, I want to do some raping. Wall. It's too much trouble. I'm not going to do some raping now. I was going to rape, but no, not now. So it's like, well, that's
thank
clearly
you for your performance.
To no one, you know, the vast majority of people did not believe that was a real thing. But they went, no, the wall, and they justify a wall in their heads. Maybe a wall, keep things, I don't know, a wall.
It'll keep the drug dealers out.
Maybe
it'll
keep the drug dealers out.
Because so many drug dealers.
But for the most people, you know, who consider it, was like, well, this is kind of make believe. But now that you've introduced this thing about the 1 to 3 million illegal voters, which is just there because he didn't win by enough, and it's an ego thing.
Yeah.
But like everyone now goes, this is make believe. It's just like, now you're really like letting grandpa, you know, it's just like, yeah, the nurse is stealing from me. Okay, well, we're going to put her in jail. It's like, no, the nurse isn't stealing from you, you know, and there aren't elves in your cupboard that are watching you masturbate. You know, it's just like, these aren't real things, and everyone knows they're not real things. And like in week one, you know, the real focus seems to be on cutting funding to real things like the environment and parks and all this kind of thing. And and it's like, we got to focus on the imaginary problems right now and deal with these make-believe people
that
I've just come out and pulled out of my ass. And those are the people we're going to have to. And everyone around is going, Jesus, is this where we say something, or is this not where we say something? Let's support it, to the point where, you know, earlier this you know, week, they had to come up with a term, alternative facts. And it was just like, you gotta make up a shit. And it's like, there's an alternative make-believe world that they're all treating like is real. And it's, and again, this is just a week. But the thing that I love, let me just say the one thing that I love, though, is if this was all that was going on, you'd go, ugh, this is not great. This is like basically letting a senile old man have way too much power. But I do love that all of these real women and men and kids showed up. Real. Not complaining online, not doing a petition.
Yeah.
Everyone got off their asses. Everyone got on a plane or drove in a car.
Yeah.
And went down into the fucking square and just went, no.
Yeah.
And then they went home and everything was peaceful and whatever. And it's like, okay, that to me gives me some hope.
Yeah.
That like these are real, the real people that are out there, I think will win out over this fake imaginary stuff. I think real will always win out over imaginary.
Well, you hope so. But ideologues, that's what governments are made of. So they will continue to force their unreality onto reality.
As long as they think people will vote for them, and the voters are the real people.
Yeah.
And so those are the people that scare them. And I can't believe that there's a politician out there that didn't see that sheer amount of people show up and just and go, huh, you know, in their own district, town, in their own country, whatever, you know, and just go, huh. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, that's now in my head that's some passion. Okay.
I suppose you can, yes.
Look how much like a group like the Tea Party or whatever did with their kind of rinky-dink movement, you know, and that pushed everything to the part where, you know, this guy got into the White House.
Yeah.
Now look at this, and this is fucking day one. Mm-hmm. This is day fucking one. Okay, where does this go from here? It either goes like people go meh and they give up, but I don't see that happening. And maybe
they put a sign up that says resist. It's just gonna keep on going.
It's pretty cool. The resist sign was
pretty awesome.
But there's another part of me that's like when I'm stereotyping here, but when I'm seeing women doing it, I'm like, they're not gonna give up as easy. There's something here that's like, no, they're really pissed off, and they're gonna if there's a bunch of guys, I mean, the guys might get distracted by the next shiny thing, but these guys are here with their kids, and it's not. Now this is fucking important for everybody here. Okay, you pissed off the mama bears. Okay, good luck. Good luck to you now. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah, I don't want to downplay it, so I'm not going to say anything more about it. I'm not. But what I thought
I was waiting for the Dave thing where there's the last thing at the end of the sentence. But
what I was going to say,
I'm going to say that that's the way it is.
No,
except it isn't.
I was going to say. That I found it interesting because you're talking about alternative facts, and I thought it was very interesting that a bunch of Trump insiders hated that, and they don't like her as a spokesperson for Trump for that reason, that she just says whatever pops into her head. And so they were very upset about that alternative facts, but Trump loved it and couldn't understand why it was a problem to say that. It's so interesting that he has this weird inability to see reality that, you know.
Well, the real thing about him is, and this is actually, to me, this is what the fucking real thing is, because he had that thing with Chicago. All right, this kind of bugged me, because Sharna Halpern is kind of the founder of the Improv Olympic.
Okay.
And that's a big, her and Del Close created the Herald and all this improv stuff. And she's in Chicago, and she was writing a thing.
She's taking it back to its Greek roots.
There you go. And Trump wrote a thing going, if you know, all this crime and killing isn't going on isn't stopped in Chicago, we're going to have to send in the feds. And she was kind of backing that up, going, yeah, maybe we should do that. And pretty much everyone else she knew went, no, what the fuck are you thinking? No, of course not. That's the worst idea in the world.
But what feds are they going to send in? Like the Federal Reserve? They're going to send the Mint in?
You're asking too many sensible questions.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you what the fuck happened.
Okay.
And there was multiple sources for what the fuck happened.
Okay.
Because when you see Trump post something weird, you might go, look at that guy. I wonder what the situation is.
Yeah.
So what happened was Bill O'Reilly on his show earlier that night was talking about that and went, things in Chicago are bad. You know what Trump should do? Send in the feds. That's all he said, was send in the feds. He didn't clarify.
Yeah. Which feds?
What feds, what you're talking about.
Mm.
So Cock-a-doodle Parrot went on his site and wrote that fucking thing out.
Yeah.
And what he does is he puts that out there, sees which way the wind's blowing.
Yeah.
If it's not blowing in his way, he walks it back or says he didn't say it, which is another common thing. He's like, I never said that. Of course you did. You printed it. No, I didn't. Never said it. Okay, but what the fuck you talk? Of course you said it. No, I didn't. But that was what it was.
Okay.
So for the most part, the things that he says are things other people have said, and he goes, that's a good idea. I'm going to, and he does it quite impulsively. So, of course, he'd like the alternative facts. The drain the swamp thing was something someone just casually said, you know, in a meeting. And he went, what's that mean? Well, you know, it means this. Oh, you think that's a good idea to say that? Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure about it. Let's see how it plays. Went to like, one of his rallies, said, drain the swamp. People cheered. Oh. Hit it again, drain the swamp. Oh. Third time, drain the swamp. While we're fucking draining the swamp. What's it mean? Nothing. It means nothing. A guy just fucking said it, and then he said it, and then you make it up. And that's what it is.
What it means is that the...
Len Wein gets nothing out of anyone draining the swamp, by the way.
Anyone draining the swamp thing.
I don't even know if we talked about that before the podcast or if that was on the air. I don't remember. Shit. Talked about Len Wein getting kind of ripped off on Swamp Thing. Anyway.
Did we talk about it?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Dude, you know what? We'll have Len Wein on the show sometime. Well, I know the guy we're going to have.
You know what we'll do? We'll put it in our asides for our Patreon.
Sure. Okay, but please continue.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Drain the swamp means what? You were going to say.
It doesn't matter. It's just stupid. I was going to make some joke about the reflecting pool, and that's dumb.
And turning that to a nice swamp?
It had become a swamp, and so they were going to drain it. And that's just stupid. Forget it. Yeah, forget it all. Forget everything I ever thought.
I mean, just in
leaving.
Just in terms of pure comedy, I mean, that's just a beautiful straight line. You know, the alternative facts, it's beautiful. You know, the Sean Spicer coming out yelling at everybody, you know, that's beautiful. And then going, no questions. And then he's out and he's wearing a suit that's too big. It's just like, what the shit is all? It's just cuckoo bananas.
It's,
to the point where the ladies wearing pussy hats look the most sensible of anyone. That just looks like that's a reasonable outfit.
That's fine.
Compared to crazy suit. Compared to David Byrne comes out and just like, and you may ask yourself why Trump said these things. And you may say to yourself, how did I get here?
That's right.
This is not my beautiful house.
Sure.
No questions.
That's the theme of the press conference. Stop making sense.
That's right. As the days go by, will I come out?
It's very I have to be honest, I have not seen all these things. I'm just not that's not on top
and
of
the pivot turn on that. The next day Pia and Vicky went to the Smithsonian and
I'd love to go there.
Yeah, and they had the exhibit of all the presidents and you know there's
name one, them all.
Name them all?
Yeah.
There's
backwards.
Mr. President. That's how I call them. What would you call them? Their full name? That's weird. Hello, President Obama. Would you say that to him?
Yeah.
No, that's weird.
Of course
weirdo.
It would.
Mr. President, that's respectful. That's what I say. But they had the big display there about impeachment.
Okay.
And that had a lot of people gathered around.
Oh, really? Yeah. Interesting.
But switch into pop culture. I want to go there and just see all the pop culture. They got like some really cool old Muppets.
Yeah.
They have like Sam from Sam and Friends.
That's where it started.
Oh.
Started in Washington.
So great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had Julia Child's kitchen there. Which I love.
Yeah.
And on her fridge, there's a whole bunch of pictures and whatever that she had on her fridge. And it's I just love all that kind of business.
That's great. So the TV set, not her actual kitchen from her home.
Yeah, from her. They didn't just take out her.
They didn't just remove the kitchen.
Going, oh, I missed my kitchen.
Big giant crane came in, dug it up, and carried it away.
Yeah, and they had pictures of how she did the show, and there was all these people crouching below her.
She was a Muppet.
Handing her things. Yeah,
she was
basically a Muppet.
Yeah,
an enormous Muppet, and just handing her stuff.
Yeah,
and it was so cool to see, like, you know, how they went about doing that. And then, of course, they had a bunch of space stuff, and it's just fun. There was a space museum. I want to go and I want to see all that business as well.
Yeah, yeah. My dad went there a long, long time ago, so I've always wanted to go myself. Because they also, in the Art Museum in Washington has Dolly's Last Supper, and I'd like to see that as well. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Or at least it did. Maybe it's moved on. I don't know.
One of the episodes of Travel Man, which we mentioned the other week,
very good
has
show.
Them going to Washington.
Oh, I've not seen that one.
Yeah, it's a very good one. They don't have all the Travel Man episodes on YouTube, unfortunately. I'm trying to hunt them down.
By any means necessary?
Yes, because it's a very entertaining and relaxing show.
It is good. It is a very good show. And Richard Iodi is very good. Very good host.
Yeah. It's amazing.
For a man who obviously does not like other people very much, or being touched in any way, or taking off his clothes.
Yep, that's the character he has assumed. And but when you start looking him up, you see like how many he's on every talkie game show.
Yes, yeah.
He's one of
those witty British people.
You can make a living as a wit.
Yes.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. His other show is Gadget Man, which isn't as good as Travel Man, but still pretty good.
Mm.
Of course, the IT Crowd, you know, is where he kind of came to fame on that show.
And, of course, that his great film, The Watch.
Yeah, that's too bad. But he's fine in it.
It's okay.
He's you know, yeah, he shows up and he does a thing and he does a thing. Watching those shows, you just see like how England has its own ecosystem of comedy that just is like so popular and so great.
Yeah.
And I watched an episode of a show called Roast Battle. That's kind of
cooking show.
I wish.
Okay.
No, the idea is it's comedians. It's something they do live in Los Angeles, and now they're doing it in Vancouver as well.
Okay.
And other places, but comedians come out, and you have five insults to do at the other comic.
Okay.
And they're personal, and they're mean, and they're like a roast. And at the end, you hug, but then they judge like which of you is better, and you know, and like Sarah Silverman will judge or something, and you'd have comedians doing their thing. And so I watched it, and it was like,
to be honest, I don't really like that at all. It doesn't sound very nice to me.
I don't care for it at all. And they really play up that it's like, but this is good because we're all just really just letting out. It's out of love, and it's like, I don't know if it's out of love.
Yeah.
And so they did it, and one of the people that was there was Jimmy Carr,
okay,
a famous British comedian who hosts a lot of the shows that Richard is on. And I thought his stuff was brilliant. He came out and he had a clipboard, and the other guy had his clipboard, and the guy went, "I don't need this clipboard," and threw it out, and then took off his shirt and was like, "Ah!" And they're doing their jokes to each other, and then at the end they're judged by Seth Rogen and Jimmy Kimmel,
okay,
and you know the guy Jeff something, who's the host of the show,
Jeff Foxworthy,
something else, but he's like the guy who's the roast master and all the roast things.
Okay.
And I thought Jimmy's jokes were fucking brilliant, but they went, "Yeah, we just didn't really feel it because you were holding the clipboard." And Jimmy Carr took everything. Like, he really was just so pro about all this.
Yeah.
He took the jokes at his own expense really well, like just laughing and really supporting the other guy, doing exactly what you should be doing. And he was like, "Oh, yeah, yes, I was reading that. You got that correct. That's exactly what was happening. Because I was reading, I thought that was all right." And it's like, yeah. And because of that, he didn't get it. But then they did this really kind of, they tried to be nice, but they were kind of condescending about just like, you know, "I'm just glad that, you know, more people in America will now know you from your stuff." And at least one of the, you know, I think it was like Jimmy Kimmel said, "And that's all that's important, that you're now known in America. Because what else matters?" And it just felt like this real condescending, "Fuck you." Yeah. He is famous as hell in England.
Yes.
He doesn't need this. He just showed up as a good sport.
Yeah.
You know, he was really being nice. And it's just like, oh, America. If it doesn't, you know, it's just like, just no. Just go to YouTube. And I hope people did go to YouTube and like watch some of his stuff, because it is very mean, a lot of the humor he does. But it's just so really, really sharp and well written.
Yeah.
The jokes are just like so goddamn good.
I feel like insults or roasts or whatever are a sign of bad temper and being a poor sport as well. Like,
do you think in the old timey ones, like at the Friars Club when they did it, it was the same situation? Or even like a Dean Martin celebrity roast, do you think it still had that vibe to it?
Well, those guys didn't write it. They just were reading other people's material.
Well, that's for the most, I don't think people write their own stuff for the most part. Oh, okay. At the big celebrity roasts, you know, now on TV.
Yeah, I just mean, I don't, okay, well, I just don't think it's that personal in that instance where you're just reading someone else's lines for you.
Though the Dean Martin roasts obviously were for television and were clean.
Yeah.
But the Friar roasts that they inspired were filthy.
Yeah.
So maybe it is, I think they were trying to capture that same vibe of that. And yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
We don't really spend a lot of time hacking on each other.
Do you know what I feel? Like back then, because you had to go out and you're playing Vegas and you'd have to basically do a clean set. I mean, you get like a Buddy Hackett who would do like a dirty set in some environment. But, you know, I'm assuming when he played Vegas and the big rooms, you wouldn't do a dirty set, would you? Or would you?
I think you would do what your act was. So.
But is that a blue set for a Buddy Hackett? Because he was a filthy comic.
Yeah.
But he also had a clean set as well.
Okay.
Anyway, what I could see is at the Friars Club, the relief of, you know, I'm known for doing, you know, make room for daddy.
Sure.
And here I can, you know, I'm going to make room for daddy.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, let your hair down.
Yeah, yeah.
And Milton Berle can do a bunch of jokes about his dick.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, do what he's doing on his own show. And I could see that being a bit of a relief. But because nowadays, you know, well, Sarah Silverman can go out and do material as filthy as you please. What's the relief then of seeing her at a roast battle doing the same kind of thing towards like Lisa Lampanelli? Who fucking cares? You know, you're doing the same as you were to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the twist? What's the angle?
Yeah. Is it just a little thrill for the audience to see people insulting each other?
Yeah, I mean,
wittily, perhaps. I don't know. I've never seen it. So
yeah, it feels like, you know, people sometimes like when a comedian is, you know, a heckler says something, and then the comedian goes after the heckler, and it's like, oh, good for them. And some people, you know, like a Don Rickles, that's his whole deal, is it goes that, to the audience.
That is his
like,
shtick. But I mean, you go in knowing that's what you're getting.
That's right.
That's part of his deal. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen,
or Jimmy Pardo or whatnot, yeah.
And the little bits of comedians I've seen putting down hecklers in the audience, they're not usually very witty about it. They're usually just kind of brutal. It's like a brutal shutdown.
Shut it down
fast, it's just a total shutdown. And it's not an attempt to like be friendly or have a little bit of parry or back and forth.
They wrap it up like, I think it's Jeff Ross is the name of the guy who hosts. And his whole thing is like,
Jeff Rossworthy?
No.
Oh,
aside, Dave doesn't know the difference between Jeff's. But he's trying to wrap it in, it's all done with love.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, clearly it's not. Clearly with the Chevy Chase one. You know, that was such a clusterfuck, and it really hurt his feelings for a long period of time.
Really?
Yeah, huge. You know, he got really upset by it. It really messed him up.
And interesting.
Like, this, I'm sure, and I know like Sarah.
I wouldn't like it.
I know Sarah Silverman even like was very honest once and said, you know, she didn't get roasted, but like the other people can roast the other roasters as well.
Okay.
And every joke about her was about her age.
Mm.
And it was like, oh, I was just expecting stuff. And I was like, every one of them gets about your age, and you get to a point where you're just like, fuck off. I'm like, yeah, we're not all bulletproof.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I don't know.
No, it would really bother me.
It just feels,
I don't
like,
want to say I'm a sensitive soul, but I don't like being made fun of. That doesn't thrill me at all. I mean, I don't mind a little bit. I can take it. But yeah, just an endless stream of like mean shots at you. Like, who wants that? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to sit through this. You get funny. One person just kind of said, hey, you know what? That's enough. Just walked away.
Yeah.
Just left. I'm good.
Well, this is
I get it. You all hate me for some reason.
Yeah, the love thing is what gets to me, because I think what happens in these situations is people have to wrap it in the opposite thing of what it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, when something seems hateful, you go, no, it's love.
Yeah.
It's love. And it's like, well, you can't just say it's love.
That's right. That's not love, guys.
I know you're forcing a hug at the end of this fucking thing.
Yeah.
But that's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not how you talk to your children and your wife who you love. I hope that's not how you talk to them.
Whereas I feel like, so. And again, Jimmy Carr does a lot of like mean stuff when he's hosting game shows and whatever. But I see the banter that they've got going back and forth. And like, even though there's a real dig or something, you know, things do seem mean. It all seems balanced.
Yeah.
And everyone takes their shots at each other. But like, and then they really sincerely do laugh at those things because it's so ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, this is not hurting them. It's so silly. They know this is not true. It's fine. Everything's okay. But there it just feels like there's an American sense of, I'm going to stereotype America, of competitiveness, and I've got to win.
Yeah.
Whereas in England, it feels like, all right, don't get too big for your britches.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going to, you know.
Have some fun.
Don't get a big head.
Yeah.
You know, knock it off. You know. Yeah. Oh, you won. Oh, that's great. You won the BAFTA. Fantastic. That's great. All right, shut up about it now. We don't want to hear it.
Well, you have a lot of that in Canada, too.
Yeah.
A lot of that attitude here.
Yeah, settle down.
Settle down.
Yeah.
Don't be so big about yourself. You're not that great.
Yeah.
Calm down.
It's like you go up and you win an award and you want to go, I'm sorry about that.
No wonder people leave here. They're like, I need to go to a place where I can like celebrate myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the greatest.
By the way, that is something. Sorry, there was a little.
Ahead.
There was a little something, because I've been doing a lot of political postings, whatever, online.
No kidding.
And the.
That was my roast.
That's fine. One of the things that gets brought up quite often is the thing that's bad about, you know, kids nowadays is everyone says they're special. You're special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a participation trophy and all that. We've talked about that on our show. And, but then almost always they've got a thing like afterwards where they're talking about, you know, and America's the greatest country in the world. It's like, so I think you're saying the same thing. We're number one.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not even racing and getting – you're just saying you're number one without competing.
Yeah.
You know, you've just pinned a medal on yourself without going into the stadium. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I just love when someone was criticizing Donald Trump for his 3 million voter fraud and stuff like that. And they said, this is not very, you know, it's not very becoming for the leader of the free world. And you're like, what? Why? Just knock off that title, please. We don't need to hear that anymore. That seems, it's time is come and gone. Get over it. I just want to make a total 180 degree turn here.
Okay.
But speaking of British people.
Did you do it in a British accent?
No, I can't.
By the way, one of the
it's weird. I can do a British accent just off the cuff. But
one of the first times
me,
I met Dave, not in the not in our choir in high school.
Yeah.
But it was when we had our sketch group. One of the first things that was discussed whether we should do all our sketches in a British accent or not.
Yeah.
And it was determined we shouldn't. And shouldn't. I think that was
the best decision we've ever made.
And probably one of the best decisions we've ever made in our lives. Yeah. And in any capacity.
Sure.
Because we can. Could you imagine us coming up for every sketch going, hello?
Here's my bad British accent. And yeah, we can walk around today with our head held high.
Oh, yeah.
Where if we'd done that.
You know why? Because all of the video footage of that time has been long. Long magnetized.
I still have it.
Oh dear.
We'll
lip sync over it sometime, and we'll do new jokes.
But we mentioned the OA, and you know one of my pet peeves.
OA.
One of my pet peeves in life is this weird need to have every British actor from the British Islands—that's where they come from—act as Americans in American movies and television, as if there are no North American actors who can do the same job.
Right.
And I really hate the British American accent. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Yeah.
People say, doesn't Hugh Laurie do a great job at his house? No, he does not sound like a person. He sounds like some weird thing. He's got a weird voice because he's doing this weird accent. It's not a natural accent. It's not a real accent. No one sounds like that.
Nope.
Doctor Strange, same. He has the exact same accent as Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
They went to the same guy, I guess, and they learned the accent. But Jason Isaacs.
Who
is in the OA.
Okay.
He's Hap, the doctor who she meets at the subway station.
Okay.
He played Malfoy, Draco Malfoy's father.
Gotcha.
Lucius Malfoy.
Hey,
or
nice
Lucian
one.
Malfoy?
Yeah, Lucy Goosius
Lucy, Malfoy. Lucy, loosely based on Malfoy.
Yeah, Lucius Malfoy, who was the guy who would always hold the ball. The magic ball, and then Harry would try to kick it, and Lucius would just
he'd pull it away. That's right. That's the
exactly I will okay this time, Harry. And then Draco would like, ha!
Yeah, he does a
right on my Horcrux.
He does a great American accent.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is so good. Like it doesn't have any of that horrible twang of the Hugh Laurie Benedict Cumberbatch.
They probably all
accent.
Have the same coach except for him.
I guess, but his is really spot
on.
He was also in Black Hawk Down, and he played I believe he played an American soldier in that.
I have not.
So he had some experience. You haven't seen that film?
No. Let me recommend
it. It's about a helicopter.
Oh, what happens to it?
It falls down.
Thanks for the spoilers.
Sorry.
I don't need that. Did it go back up?
I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay. I hope so.
It's not good. The whole thing is bad.
All right. Did you ever see Seth Meyers' sketch? Maybe I showed it to you. Boston accent?
No.
Okay.
Because Benedict Cumberbatch does a terrible Boston accent.
We're
going to
put, first of all, as soon as this is over, I'm going to show you this on your phone or my phone or one of our phones.
One of our phones.
But there is a bit about a British guy doing an American accent in it. And we're going to put a link up to this because it's one of my favorite sketches.
Okay.
Yeah. I've become a big Seth Meyers fan lately, not just for political stuff, but just because he's just had so many silly, weird, great writing bits on his show lately.
Okay.
There's one thing that he does, and it just kills me every time, where it's just this he's got like an old video game system and he just brings this thing up that's got like a cell phone with a steering wheel attached and all this mess and just goes, there were some old games we used to play on this, and he just shows these old computer games that they just made up. It's just like so good. It's so good. Like,
it's right in your wheelhouse.
It's really in my literal weird house. Like I just see all these sketches and bits, and they're so joyful and fun. And just as a writer, I always find that show very, very inspiring.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just like, it's the show for comedy writers to watch and go, yeah, that's good stuff. Well done.
Nice.
Yeah, let me recommend that show. And let me also recommend that you tape it and fast forward past the interviews, because who cares what celebrities have to say? And then just get to the bits.
They don't even care.
Yeah, it's what I used to do with Conan. Get to the bits.
Bits. You don't watch Conan anymore?
I haven't for a while.
Mm.
But I'd be happy to watch the bits.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Seth bits... Those bits is tight.
Lisa and I started watching a really terrible show on Netflix
called The News.
No, it's right? not The News, but you're right.
A terrible show.
Yeah,
on Netflix.
Netflix. It's not a Netflix original. It's a series, and it's so bad.
Is it British?
No, it's American, and it's like I read the thing. It's like a pathologist who solving crimes in Florida. Blah blah blah. I'm like. Right up Lisa's alley. She loves shows where people get murdered and people solve it.
She likes oranges.
She loves oranges.
Drinking
it
juice.
Doesn't have to be Florida. don't know if
but
I made that clear.
It doesn't hurt.
But it has to be murder.
I miss Burn Notice.
And it has to have
solutions. I just remembered that I downloaded a whole last season of Burn Notice for like $2 because they had a sale on PlayStation.
Oh.
And I just realized I haven't watched those yet.
You better watch
those. I've got a whole season of Burn Notice to watch. Okay, please continue.
Yeah. You want to keep your Bruce Campbell fix going.
Mm-hmm. I like Florida. Because people eat oranges and they're drinking.
You like Florida as well.
They're drinking.
You
lot
and Lisa,
of oranges.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, wait a second, before we solve this murder, let's all have some fresh squeezed orange juice.
That's right. Let's have a mimosa. Is that what it's called?
A mimosa. That's right.
A mimosa. Sorry, guys, I can't put M's together. It's a.
Mama mimosa.
We should do that speech thing before we start. You know, bubble gum. I can't even do that. I'm terrible. Repeating consonants. But anyway, so it's a show. It's called Rosewood.
Okay, I've heard of it.
It's a dumb show. I got to tell you. It's like you're watching, you're like, do they make shows like this? This is like watching Matlock. But it's a Matlock that everyone really, 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 really admires.
Okay.
And have no problem telling this actor who you feel must be involved in the production of the show somehow because everyone likes this character so much.
Okay.
Maybe too much.
Yeah.
A lot of admiration for
I
this guy.
I hear you. I'm with you.
But there was a scene the other day, we were watching it, and the characters brought it together for a hug. And I couldn't help myself. I just said to Lisa, family hug. Because it reminded me, like, when the girls were young, we still do it, actually. Well, if we have a hug, well, a hug is a family, and we always go, family hug. And so it just reminded me of that for some reason. And I thought, well, that's a nice little scene. It's a kind of a goofy show, but I like the personal interactions on it. So
how many seasons deep are they?
It's only one season. I don't know if it went on. It stars Morris Chestnut. Who,
that's a great name.
It's a great name. He was the guardian of Hit Girl in the second Kick-Ass film.
Okay,
so
all
the
right.
Black Cop character. Yeah, and so in this show, he's a pathologist who has his own private practice.
Is there a guy named Rosewood, or is Rosewood
his
name?
His name is Rosewood.
Did they just call him Rosewood? No first name, no last name.
Like, no, his first name is Rosewood.
Rosewood. So it's like, hey, Rosewood.
Hey, Rosie, yeah.
Oh, Rosie.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it.
Last name Beaumont, I believe. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but I seem to know a lot about this show. His sister's, anyway. So, yeah, it's just like a fun, it's kind of a fun show. Like, it's just, but it's
really dumb.
It's complete Stockholm Syndrome, this show and this discussion. Don't get me wrong. It is complete garbage. It is utter, like, it's just, you know, it's just fodder. You know, it's just TV fodder.
Hey, man, I watched Legends of Tomorrow. There you go. Okay?
And it's, you know, I am often, like, reading while it's on.
I watch Scandal, too. Like, I can't judge nothing.
You can't judge, yeah, don't
I think
judge
I'm
me.
Off Scandal, though, now.
Don't judge me for watching Rosewood. But, yeah, it's just one of the, you know, and he has the cop, originally with the cop, and they don't get there's a bit of friction between them
stuff.
But they still like each other, you know.
Oh, that's good.
But there's always these little moments of the
characters.
Yeah, a little tension.
A little wisecracking between
them. It's hard to believe that a show would have that as an element to it. I know. It's you know,
Did
it's
you
just one of those.
A coroner and the coroner has kind of a dark sense of humor.
No.
It just throws out one or two
It's weird. The thing I like about it is the coroner. There is a coroner.
Yeah.
Or a medical examiner. And he the actor who plays him was in Last Days of Disco, the Whit Stillman film.
Oh, okay.
So when he shows up, I'm like, oh, he was in Last Days of Disco. I say it every time. Oh, he was in Last Days of Disco.
I would like to see, and this is like my little fantasy, is I would like to see a series, just one episode, where they take all the coroners from all the shows, and then they all get together, and they got to go solve a mystery. And I don't want a Quincy in there.
Too argumentative?
Yeah, I don't need that. I just want all the side wisecracking
characters.
Okay,
all the side
characters. Have to fucking go and do that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Everyone who plays that type, off you go.
Okay.
Do it.
Okay. That's quite a few. That's quite a few actors. That's quite a big show. That's a big cast of people. They need a bus to travel around in.
And as we're kind of wrapping up, let me ask you this question without spoiling things. What did you think of the ending of Sherlock?
I haven't seen it yet.
Ah.
And here's the freaking thing that's really annoying is I set series, taped the series on PBS.
Oh, yeah. I hope you taped two in a row. Because they cut it off.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've been fooled before with that shit.
Oh, fucking
I almost always
have.
This is a show I give a fuck about.
Yeah.
I am taping whatever comes after
it.
To the point where I have been turned on to shows that happen after other shows because of that. But too often on PBS, it's the same show twice.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Oh, I was so mad. And so that happened with the first episode, and it's probably happened with all of them. So I may have to, by any means necessary, find that show.
I made that mistake with Westworld. I did not double up, and I should have doubled up. That's what I almost do for like Westworld. For HBO, is I just go, I'm taping the whole night.
You can just watch it on demand, though, can't you? With HBO? You have the on demand.
I think if I watch, you mean like on the computer or on my cable?
Oh, on cable.
On cable, but quite often they do a thing where you can't fast forward. So it's like, dude, I'm not watching this whole thing again. And then just showing up at the end, just sees a little bit. I ended up watching it on YouTube. I went like, okay, what's the ending on YouTube?
Mm.
Understood. I got it.
Maybe I should. But I taped them all and it never occurred to me to change it. Because I taped a bunch of them in a row, and then I started watching the one, and I was just like,
I would tell our audience to come back, and we're going to discuss it. But I know we're big liars, and promises we make we will not keep.
There's no point keeping them.
Nope. Do you know what, though?
They don't care.
Everything, reality doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
That's what we live in right now. Make it up. Everything whips around. That's all fine. It's all fine.
If there's one thing we've learned from our listeners, is that they don't care about this show.
But they do care about us. So thank you so much for all the nice things you guys basically have been writing and saying. And that is very, very much appreciated.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Yes, I appreciate it, especially after my stupid moment last week. So embarrassing. I couldn't even listen to it.
It was not a stupid moment. Oh, my gosh. So not a stupid moment.
Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to end the show, right? Is that what we're doing now?
Please do. I'm going to throw this out.
Oh, please.
A little quick plug for there's a podcast called Screw It. We're going to talk about the Beatles that I've been listening to a little bit.
Yeah.
We did our Beatles podcast.
We did.
Which was completely Beatles. Went through every album.
We did.
Song by song. They're going through every album. They seem surprised that we'd done that first. I wrote a little post to them, and it was like just an encouraging post, and I got the vibe from it. Oh, what? I was like, okay. But if you came to our show through that,
yes.
And you want more Beatles,
yeah.
They're a loosey-goosey kind of version of what we did without the expertise of Dave.
Well, that's what a lot of people liked about the show.
Yeah.
Is that I brought it every 2 weeks.
You brought it.
I did.
Yep.
Some people liked it too much.
Some people liked it too much? How so? Like
the facts too much. They just want all facts.
And they just call you up on the phone now and go, we need more Beatles facts?
Dave, what other facts can you tell me? I'm out of them. Read Tune In.
Tell me more.
You want more facts?
Tell me about more fifth Beatles.
You want more facts? Who else would count? There's only one fifth Beatle.
Which is?
George Martin. Come on, guys. We all know that.
And who's the sixth Beatle? Let's do the top 10 Beatles. Number five is George Martin. Number six is?
Oh, I'll give it to Brian Epstein.
Okay. Number seven?
Neil Aspinall.
Eight?
I don't know if we can. I feel like we're kind of scraping the. I don't want to say this about, but you know, I guess you could say Mel Evans, who worked with
Nine.
Him for a long time. Oh, come on, that's way too many. It's ridiculous. Nine.
Gonna give it to Pete Best.
No.
Okay.
I know that sounds weird, and it seems unfair, doesn't it? But you know what made the Beatles great? You know,
controversial at the end. Of the
here's
show.
The thing. Here's the thing. I feel like
Dave just woke back up.
Okay, I'm gonna take it back from Neil Aspinall. I know that he was a faithful employee, that he ran Apple through the 70s, that he kept the flame burning when the other Beatles couldn't be interested anymore. But let's just talk about what made the Beatles great.
Uh-huh.
I mean, only those people who contributed to the Beatles' greatness, and I know that Neil Aspinall had a van and was able to drive them around. I know that Mel Evans was a roadie and he set up their drums and stuff for them. Those are important things, but they're not key. You know, if it wasn't Mel Evans, if it was, you know, Kel Evans... If it wasn't Neil Aspinall, it was Neil Graspinall, it would still be fine. Those people could still do those jobs. But the fact is that they were so lucky to meet George Martin, this open-minded person who was willing to take a chance on them, to not force them to do, you know, commercial songs, to let them grow, to add to what they did, to play, you know, even though he had no real experience in rock music, to play the honky-tonk piano in the early songs and to add strings to Yesterday and to do all those things that made them better and better, that he was willing to let them stretch and grow and to, you know, to grow as big as they wanted, became what the Beatles became, you know, like, that's great. And what Brian Epstein was willing to do, to take a chance on this band, to take these boys and mold them and make them into something that could sell outside of this small community that they were entertaining, but that they didn't, you know, but this a small place, he took them from that and introduced them to the world. You know, and gave them this big, huge stage to play on and to be this big thing. I mean, and that's important, you know? So those are the two extra Beatles, and no one else deserves that role.
You know what this is like? It's like at the end of a concert where you know, like, do the hits. It's like, Dave's whipping out the greatest hits of, like, some Beatles fans. Like,
sorry.
Boom!
I'm
Paul
sorry.
Just did Yesterday. Hooray. Okay, wrap up the show.
I'm sorry, everyone, for that brief
enthusiasm.
By the way,
let me throw this out, too.
Yeah.
We got a nice little comment about her three favorite podcasts from Robin Constabaris. And
okay.
We were the third of those three. I can't remember what the other two are now. But I think it was like something like This American Life or something like that.
This American Life, and one was called Risk.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the third one was us for our ramblings.
For our, well, she said banter.
Banter, sorry about
that.
I'm
going to go with banter. So
all right.
I think banter sounds better than ramblings.
Okay.
Although ramblings is much more accurate. I think we can all agree.
Speaking of which,
everyone, if you like rambling, you can ramble on over to our website, sneakydragon.com, where you can leave messages to us on our message board. And we will often respond, but always read them and always appreciate them. You can send us emails to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Once again, love getting emails from everyone. It's so great. And you can go to our Facebook page where we'll be posting, I imagine, a little video about Boston accents.
It's called Boston Accent. It's a
Boston
accent thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can also find us on Twitter @sneaky_dragon. We have a Tumblr page and we have a Patreon page as well. And please support us. It's so great that you do, and it helps us underwrite the ongoing expenses of doing a podcast.
And we buy candy.
And also candy. So everybody, thank you for listening this week. We think you're swell, and we always love to hear from you. Goodbye.
Take it easy.
End of the show with an Eagles reference.
Yes.